When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
It is time for another edition of Overreaction Monday. Rich Eisen along with Chris Brockman.
What's
from
up,
the
Rich?
Rich Eisen Show podcast studio. Good to see you over there, Christopher.
Good to
How are you?
See you, friend. I'm great. Well, I'm not great. All my fantasy teams lost.
I'm in dire
it's
straits.
Awful.
And by
it's
the
really
way, Overreaction Monday is a perfect way for the description of how I feel when I wake up in the morning after being 0-3 in a fantasy season, you know, where I'm again having to talk about how much I love my wife, how my children are doing well.
Absolutely.
You know, knock on wood, healthy.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like these are, I shouldn't have to check, like have a reality check of my life caused by fantasy football.
No, I don't care about them. I want my fantasy team to win. I want Marvin Harrison to do anything.
Oh my God.
Brian Thomas, like wake up.
Oh my gosh. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if you're somebody who drafts Ashton Jeanty first overall, Nico Collins second overall, Jaden Daniels third overall. How'd that work out?
How about
that's my 0-3 fantasy team.
Oh, you that's you?
You know what? You know what? Nobody cares about our fantasy teams.
I know, but
you know what people care about?
I know.
Overreaction Monday.
I just want to say that I have Purdy, Kittle, Jeanty, Brian Thomas, and Marvin.
There are definitely some people who are either taking this in via YouTube, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, or wherever you get your podcasts, who are like, I got it.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. But let's talk reality football as we're almost 3 weeks into this season. Hit it. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays.
Monday. Recording this mere hours before the Ravens and the Lions take on one another to wrap up week number 3, and days before the Seahawks and the Cardinals, both 2-1 apiece, kick off week number 4. Go ahead and what do you have,
Rich,
Chris Brockman?
Let's hope Monday's Lions-Ravens game is good because and compelling, and there's good football played, because I didn't see a lot of that on Sunday. It was one of the weirder Sundays that I can imagine. What, 7 blocked kicks or something yesterday, including a bunch at the buzzer, a lot of weird returns, quarterback play wasn't great. And I watch these teams play, and I think about it, and Rich, it feels like there's only about 5 teams that can win the Super Bowl. That's my overreaction. It feels like there's not a lot of good teams, and there's just a handful that can actually win the Super Bowl.
Just 5 teams.
It feels like it.
That can win the Super Bowl.
I'm thinking about, look, the obvious ones. Bills, we saw on Thursday, dominate. The Eagles, the champs, you know, they had a great comeback yesterday after being down big against the Rams. And then the Ravens play tonight. Are the Lions one of those teams? I don't know. The Chargers are definitely in that mix. And then there seems like there's just like one other good team.
Even the Packers. You forget the Rams potentially to do it. This is an overreaction. The Bucks.
I don't know, man.
It doesn't feel like it
when I watch these teams play.
I have the exact number. Actually, I reached out to from NFL Network Research. You're correct. 7 kicks were blocked.
Unreal.
So far entering Monday Night Football in week number 3. 1 punt, 5 field goals, 1 extra point. That is, if there is, that's the second most in a single day. And the last time we saw as many kicked in a single day was 2006, in September, early on. This happens every single year, Chris, where now that we have one fewer preseason game and most teams don't even start their starters at all in a preseason game, just take a look again at how up and down, say, for instance, Michael Penix Jr. looks like in Atlanta, getting shut out in week 3 in Carolina, and then sat for Kirk Cousins in the fourth quarter. Do you think they might have given him a rep or two in the preseason? Would he have looked better and the first 3 weeks of this season, potentially? I'm just throwing that out there as an example that September football with the change of preseason and let's get most of our reps of importance in practices against another team that we're going to then play in the preseason week. It just looks up and down. This is an overreaction. There are definitely more than five teams that can win the Super Bowl.
We did this list over the in the preseason, right? And over the summer with guys.
Right.
You had almost half the league. I had over a dozen teams. TJ was only the one. He had like seven. And I feel like it's even less than that right now I watch the first 3 weeks.
Let me hit him. The Bills can win the Super Bowl. The Ravens can win the Super Bowl. I think coming into the season, I thought Cincinnati could win the Super Bowl. Again, my Jake Browning, everything's okay. The house is not on fire. Not a great start. But I would say the Steelers coming into the season, I considered it. Right now, they don't look like a Super Bowl worthy team. The Colts, laugh all you want, man. The Colts can potentially win the Super Bowl.
They have to prove it every single week.
I understand that. But as we're sitting here right now, you can't sit here and say that's not a magic carpet ride that's about to be taking off. You know, you've got the Chiefs at 1-2. Laugh all you want. They're still the Chiefs. You can't just discard them. And the Chargers,
they don't look like a Super Bowl team.
Well,
Kansas City.
I know that, but they're still the Chiefs, and they know how to do it. And at some point in time, if they make the playoffs and they're a wild card team, they're going to come in your house, and the calls can potentially come from within the house. You've got the Eagles. You've got potentially the Commanders if they can get Jaden Daniels back and start looking like the way they look. It's only 3 weeks in. The Packers, the Lions. I'm not going to throw the Vikings in this right
now. We'll get the Green Bay in
Bucks,
a second.
The Rams. I mean, the Seahawks are off to a terrific start. The Niners are 3-0. What if Kittle comes back and Purdy's back and Ayuk's back and McCaffrey is still healthy? McCaffrey's doing McCaffrey things right now. He's not getting in the end zone. Overreaction. What else you got over there?
All right. This one I do not think is an overreaction, and I think you're actually going to agree with me. When I watch this team play, Rich, they play right down the road, and they're kind of the renter there. It seems like the Chargers. I'm talking about the Chargers. Justin Herbert. He's the MVP through the first 3 weeks, hands down.
Let's see. You could throw Allen in there at 3-0.
Allen hasn't done it every single week this year.
I know that he didn't account for a touchdown in week two. Who else? Jordan Love was, you've got to only include undefeated teams right now. Baker Mayfield. Let me tell you something about Baker Mayfield. Do you have a Bucks?
I do have a Bucks one later on.
Okay, so then I'll just throw this out right now because I thought this was interesting and I will throw it out that Baker Mayfield, ladies and gentlemen, just the fourth quarterback since 2000 with three game winning drives in the team's first three games of the season. And on top of it, do you know who has got the longest active streak among quarterbacks with four straight games of 30 or more rush yards on top of it? That would be one Mayfield, Baker.
Wow.
The Bucs are also one of three teams to not have a turnover in 2025.
Interesting.
The other teams are named?
Not the Patriots.
The Bills, that's correct. The Bills and the Colts as well. And they're 3-0 for the first time since 2005. Justin Herbert, I can give you a bunch of statistics that show how terrific he has been as well. I can't push back on this. I don't think this is an overreaction. I saw what he did in person, and here's the stat to just throw out for what he did on Sunday against the Broncos. In the last two drives, which he threw a game-tying touchdown pass and led the team to a Dicker the Kicker field goal with no time remaining, Justin Herbert was 8 of 9 for 93 yards and that one passing touchdown. He was superb.
That throw to Keenan Allen for the touchdown. That was when I went, whoa,
I know
MVPs make that type of play.
You can't push back on this. You can't sit here. No, there's others that can be considered. I just named, you know, Baker.
Yeah,
as
well,
another,
I mean, we're going to see Lamar on Monday night. Allen, you know, Goff has had a good season
right,
so far.
I'll buy this one. Correct. 1 for 2. What else you got?
Jim's comments after the, hopefully we play that on the flagship today. Jim was unbelievable in the post game trying to describe he was feeling.
I will always come up with a Harbaugh
and watching Herbert play.
Good to know.
All right. Next, you mentioned the Colts a second ago and one of the teams that can win the Super Bowl. I still need to see it, but right now through 3 weeks, Rich, the Colts are a top five team in the NFL. Danny Dimes, Indiana Jones. He's going to be an MVP finalist.
I keep going back to a 3-game 3-0 start for Sam Darnold.
I know. That's kind of the linchpin of this conversation whenever we think about MVPs through the first month.
I mean, the Colts are out here to take on a Rams team that in the first half at halftime in Philadelphia looked like the best team in football.
You know, it's funny when I'm looking at the schedule, Del Tufo's on the mic here, maybe on the radio over there. Maybe he can and vouch back me up here. I'm looking at this Colts Rams game and I'm like, how am I going to sell that? Am I going to make any money on this game?
Are you going to go to it now?
Now it's a must
go. Are you going to it?
It is a must attend.
You are Del Tufo
on Sunday week four.
Saying yes,
must attend Rams Colts.
Colts are top 5 team. I'll buy.
Okay.
Okay. I haven't done my power rankings yet.
I know. I'm just kind of throwing one.
I don't know if they will be in the top 5, but right now, just sitting here right now, when you look at the 2-0 teams, you've got the Colts, Chargers, and Bills in the AFC.
At 3-0 in the AFC.
In the NFC, you have the Eagles.
Yep.
And then you have the Bucks, and you've got the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm not missing anything on that front.
No, those are the unbeatens.
So the Colts being a top 5 team. Danny Dimes finishing an MVP candidate, he would have to continue this over, obviously, I can't say 17-game stretch because not everyone's perfect every single game.
Sure.
It would have to be like 14 out of 17 weeks. That's what it would have to be, you know? And what he's doing, though, is stuff that you have just not seen a Colts quarterback do.
No, this is.
And by the way, I'm not kidding.
Early
when
Andrew
I say
Luck,
that.
Probably right.
No,
ever.
Here's a stat for you, Chris Brockman.
I want to hear it.
In the Super Bowl era, there's a list of quarterbacks with 3 or more passing touchdowns, 3 or more rushing touchdowns, and no giveaways in the first 3 games of the season. That list is one name long now.
Stop it,
Daniel Jones.
I mean, what are we doing?
The list of Colts
He's
quarterbacks.
He's the only person on that list?
The list of Colts quarterbacks to start the season. 3-0 with no giveaways. Colts quarterbacks. We're talking Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck. Jim Harbaugh.
How about Johnny Unitas?
Hey, I've heard of him. He has a statue.
The list is now one name long. Daniel Jones. This is what he's doing. So,
I don't mean to laugh.
I mean, he may, for those watching on the YouTube channel, the graphic that we have, he may look like the initial Ronaldo statue.
It's not okay? So
but he is playing
giant.
Lights out. So now, yes, he is an MVP finalist. I've just tapped the brakes a little bit here. Just got to tap him. If he goes into the Rams' house, and we know whose house it is.
Rams' house.
Okay. And does it again. And then continues on. And wins this division, which it sure looks like they are in a pole position to do. The Jaguars, though, are only a game behind them.
I know, but the Jaguars don't look exactly
like
world
beaters. Hey, laugh all you want, pal. You are what you are. And they do not play. They do not play each other until, wait for it. Week 14.
Wow.
They play week 14 and week 17. So this thing's going to be up in the air potentially.
Interesting.
I'll just tap the brakes on that. So halfway in,
okay.
Half overreaction. Just like 50-50. Okay?
Okay.
So.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery. They're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Tonight, turn down the noise of the day and focus on the rest with AGZ, the nightly drink for winding down and resting up. New from AG1. AGZ supports your body's natural sleep cycle with clinically studied key herbs, adaptogens, and minerals in amounts supported by research. And no melatonin, helping you wake feeling rested. Wind down, rest up with AGZ. Learn more at drinkagz.com.
What else?
He's balling, man.
I know he is.
It's crazy.
I got you.
He's balling.
I got you.
All right. Speaking of who's not balling. And we were loving this team for the first 2 weeks. Look, man, I have them to win the Super Bowl. But it seems like we crowned the Packers a little too early.
Stop it.
Sunday is who the Packers really are.
No, stop it. Hey, man, you laugh all you want about the Cleveland Browns, and I know a ton of people do, but that defense is no joke. And Myles Garrett obviously is Myles Garrett. Everybody's learning about what my guy Mason Graham from the University of Michigan looks like, okay? Everyone's learning the hard way. And the
he had a 40-plus
the Packers sure learned the hard way. And the Browns' defense is no joke, man. They are terrific. And they've done it now 3 weeks in a row. They had gave up 7 total yards to the Bengals in week one. In week two, they held the Ravens down in the first half. Second half, as we all know, not so much. But Jordan Love tied his career high with 5 sacks taken. And that offensive line that was banged up a little bit, they were all over him. And we may learn more often than not that the Browns are coming for you when they're showing up with their defense. And all they had to do is just, can they come up with a couple offensive touchdowns? It's certainly, you know, before the 4-minute mark of the fourth quarter, just coming up with one. No, we're going to find that one out. And maybe they aren't, you know, going to go 15-2. They might not wind up being the one seed. But they're showing up on Sunday Night Football with Micah in Dallas's house.
Micah had 2 crucial penalties down the stretch.
I get it. It was an off day. These things happen. They're not, you don't go 17-0 on purpose.
But if you're the beast, you're the one seed. You're going to dominate the NFC. You're going to be in the MVP conversation. Like Jordan Love, like I need you to not throw it right at the defense. I need you to make some plays down the stretch. Like you got your full complement of wide receivers. You got Josh Jacobs.
If they don't have that field goal blocked at the end, that thing's a wrap. But the Browns did what they did.
Yeah, you shouldn't have been in a position to have it come down to
unless you find
kick.
Out that the Browns are that good. I'm pushing back on this overreaction. What else you got?
All right, let's stay in the NFC North. Mm-hmm. This was the game, finally, we were waiting to see from Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. Easily Caleb's best game of his career.
Yes, sir.
The Bears are going to finish top 2 in the NFC North. We're back. No. Bajan time is over. Bajan watch Bajan, 2025.
Bajan watch is over.
Has been,
that's correct.
That watch has been smashed.
That's correct.
Okay, it's Caleb's time.
Caleb
is here. Caleb has arrived. The Bears are going to be in the playoff mix. Top 2 in the North.
Gotta give it up. He's only thrown 4 touchdowns in a game once before. I would know because I called it in London last year. He was great in that game. This was the first time in his pro career he hasn't taken a sack in a game. Last time he didn't take a sack in a game was in college when USC whipped up on Stanford 56-10. And Luther Burden III, ladies and gentlemen, he has entered the chat.
He has.
Good to see. Cole Kmet entered the chat. 4 different players with a receiving touchdown in week 3. That's what you want to see.
I mean, Roma Dunze season is here.
That's what you want to see. You want to see it. And I like the way that they're using DJ Moore out of the backfield as well. I get it. But come on, man. The Lions and the Packers are the cream of the NFC North crop. And the Vikings defense entered the chat as well. Let's just take it one at a time here. Everybody in Chicago, I'm glad that they got to see it in person as well. It's a process. Last year, I'm not going to say you have to flush it. But last year, there wasn't much of a process that Caleb can learn from. There wasn't a foundation. There wasn't a guardrails of a clear-cut process of a way a coach was going to run things on the offensive side of the football. Shane Waldron wasn't it. As we know, Eberflus wasn't it. The backup, the interim to the interim, you know, which sounds like a George Costanza, you know, right. business card, you know, wasn't it. He didn't have all of that as a foundation to come into this year as most second year quarterbacks do. I'm not saying he started from scratch because he did get some experience last year, like being put on his ass last year over and over and over 68 times last year, and he didn't say a word. I mean, and that is a learning experience that he can grow from. It's going to take time. The Cowboys' defensive backfield, man, that's a big problem. Trevon Diggs just doesn't look the same anymore. And I don't think he is healthy at all. And if the back end of the defense doesn't get help from the front end of the defense, it is going to be a wrap. Russell Wilson lit him up. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams lit him up. We might come out of this talking more about the defensive backfield of the Dallas Cowboys way, way more than we are talking about Caleb Williams is on track. So
that's too bad.
I'm just expressing right now.
Yeah.
Overreaction that the Bears are now going to finish top two in their division. Let's just take it for what it is. Great game. Great experience. We can see how they can grow from it. Their next up, as we all know, is in Las Vegas. And, you know,
that looks like a win right now.
It could be. Or, you know, Vegas could come back and go, screw this. You know, what we've done over the last 2 weeks. And the Condor is going to put him on his ass. But if they can go into the bye week 2-2, they're going to feel good about themselves before a Monday night visit back to Washington, D.C., where, you know, it all started caving in on them last year with the Hail Mary and then the conversation about Eberflus losing the locker room. One at a time. Check the box. Great job. That's what we needed to see. And we'll see what more can come from it. But, hey, they have a shot to win the division now. I'll push back on
I'm
that.
Calling my shot 4-2 going into Baltimore week 8.
Okay, good to know.
You know who's not going to be 4-2 at any point this season? The Bengals. Their season is absolutely cooked, and they're going to be picking in the top 10 this year.
You know the way I'm talking about this now. Listen, that was brutal. And their next game next week is in Denver. That's not going to be an easy assignment on Monday Night Football as well. So Jake Browning going into Denver with Denver 1-2 easily could be 3-0, feeling their way back to 500 against a backup quarterback who has been interception prone in his six quarters. And, you know, the rest of his team fumbling it all over the place and the Vikings defense being opportunistic. And I know that the Broncos defense might be one of the more popular fantasy week 4 plays.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're looking at with Jake Browning is potentially, and this is why he might be a backup, is a 500 quarterback.
Yep.
And if he is a 500 quarterback, even if he goes 0-2 to start, and this is going to be my retort on the flagship show as well, or for anybody on the our friends at ESPN who use my season's not over as a topic bar launching off point for their conversations sure. on their shows.
Sure.
This is my retort. Even if he starts 0-2, okay, let's just marathon it here. He goes even one game under 500. They're going to be 9-8 at the end of the season. Joe Burrow could potentially come back at the end of the year. All he's got to get is a team that's hovering around the 500 mark, if not at it or potentially above it. By the time he gets back, I am not declaring this season over again. It looked terrible. And Monday night in Denver may not look much better. But Cincinnati, you know, after that, by the way, as a home date with Detroit before they're at Green Bay, and then a Thursday nighter home for Pittsburgh before the Giants, the Jets at home, Chicago at home, a bye week. They also have New England at home. There are some really tough games on their schedule. There's a game at Miami on a Sunday night that if you listen right now, that's the sound of a flex. Okay. So there are some wins out there. There are going to be some games that Jake Browning is going to have to win or the defense is going to have to come up with it. It's going to be a long slog. I don't believe the Super Bowl is within reach, which I know they had a dream of before Joe Burrow's toe gave way. So if you're saying that's the season's over that way, okay. But top 10 pick?
Top 10 pick.
No.
I mean, that's like, what, 6 wins? 6-11?
Right. I know that.
Yeah, okay.
You knew I could call this an overreaction. Yeah, I'm not just immediately
I understand.
Turning heel on
no,
myself.
I get it. I okay. just wanted it out there. Love what this team did on Sunday, the last couple weeks, actually. And it's funny, when we talk about this team and this quarterback, it's always the other way around about how Minnesota screwed up in letting him go. Well, let's go the other way. Let's be positive. The Seahawks made the right move. Swapping Geno for Sam Darnold.
I like it. I like it.
Sam Darnold has been balling to start the year quietly.
That's all Mike Macdonald wanted to do from the minute he got there was to put his own stamp on things, have his own players there, have his own system put in. You know, some folks in Seattle are still all over me whenever I see them about my take here when we found out that Mike Macdonald replaced a lot of the photographs.
The photograph, yeah.
Took all of the Pete Carroll photographs and all the championship photographs down off the wall, put it on some sort of a digital frame somewhere, and put his own stamp on things. And so, sending Geno Packin when Geno didn't want to sign for the amount of money that they were willing to give him, and Pete getting the job in San Francisco, in Vegas, saying, I'll take him. And then Sam Darnold saying, I'll take this amount of money from you. It made a complete sense for them to make this move. And Sam Darnold and the Seahawks could easily be 3-0 if somehow, some way they had defended Purdy to Jake Tonjes in the last seconds of that game.
Yep.
If you can potentially hear me sifting through because I'm trying to get this statistic right here that I saw earlier. Here it is, of the Seattle Seahawks. They scored as many points in week three as they did in weeks one and two combined. So they're obviously taking off. The defense is doing its job.
Unbelievable.
Do you know the only team to allow 17 or fewer points in each of their first three games of the season would be the Seattle Seahawks?
I like it.
Sam Darnold had his eighth game of two or more passing touchdowns and no interceptions since 2024. Only Lamar, Josh Allen, and Jared Goff have had more in the last two seasons. So he's now doing in Seattle. Okay. I know it's against the New Orleans Saints, but he's doing in Seattle. At least he's had a game in Seattle like he's had in last year. So it's not like, uh-oh, he turned into a pumpkin. We saw the carriage.
We did.
In Lumen Field on Sunday. And the Seattle offense has been, Darnold's led the offense to 48 more points in the last six quarters than in the first six quarters of the year. So they are taking off. And here's the thing, too. We were all wondering, DK's going to Pittsburgh. What about, is Jackson Smith and Jigba ready to be the number one receiver of the Seattle Seahawks? And his 323 receiving yards so far are the most in the history of the team through the first three games of a season.
Wow.
So JSN is being found.
Yep.
And someone has to find them. And the defense is doing its job. Kenneth Walker, the third, is doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
Torrey Horton, joins JSN and Metcalf as the only Seattle rookie wide receivers to have back-to-back games with a receiving touchdown in the last 10 seasons. Somebody's got to be the trigger man there. So, not an overreaction. I buy it, sir. Certainly when you're going to be reasonable in a topic bar like that, not like, hey, Vikings made a mistake in letting him go. You know I'm not going to sit here and make that reaction.
Sure, we're going the other way. We're being positive with Sam Darnold.
Got it. Well done,
and
sir.
They look like a playoff team, Seattle does.
I know. I'm wondering if I need to check your temperature because that was not as hot as it could be.
Experience a membership that backs your business journey with American Express Business Platinum. Earn 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com. Plus, enjoy a welcome offer of 200,000 points after you spend $20,000 on purchases on the card within your first 3 months of membership. American Express Business Platinum. There's nothing like it. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-platinum.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Really?
What else you got?
How about this one? One of these guys was the sixth overall pick in the draft. The other was not. One of them is doing something when he gets the ball.
It sounds like the open to the odd couple.
The other is not.
Okay.
Cam Scadaboo is who we wish Ashton Jeanty was.
Well, they're different running backs.
Are they? Big guys, they can catch the ball and they run dudes over. Except one of them is creating yards. Cam Scadaboo last night had 121 total yards.
I know that.
6 yards a carry. Ashton Jeanty has 147 total yards on the season.
Yeah. Let me say something to you here.
I swear this is not fantasy related.
I was literally, hold on a second. Stop it. Because I know you have Cicadaboo and some fantasy as well. But
this is just enjoyment of watching football and seeing these guys play. And one team, look.
Well, you're giving voice to the don't take a running back in the first round when you can get one later and he can be just as productive or more so. You're giving voice to that. And by the way, I understand why someone would say that. There's a difference between don't take a running back in the first round because you could get somebody better in the next one or the next one or the one after that.
I'm not even saying that either.
There's a difference between that or I'm not paying a running back who's already shown that he can be productive, and we are so dependent on that player to be an identity for our team and a safety valve for our team and a go-to guy for our team, and I'm not going to pay that person after he has performed so I could take one in the draft. That's two totally different things. The first one, I have an understanding of. The second one, get out of here with that philosophy and team building and roster building.
Yeah, that's what we heard about James Cook all offseason. He looks like a top five back.
But hell hath no fury like a fantasy football owner scorned. And that's what this sounds like to me with you, sir. Because you are the king of, got to take Ashton Jeanty in the first round.
I wanted the Patriots to take him.
I wanted no part of Ashton Jeanty in the first round. And in my league that I wanted to win more than anything else, everybody got picked clean from the running back department in the first round. And it's ticking down. And I'm sitting there in Brazil. And I'm like jet lagged out of my skull. And I'm like, if I could go back in time, I could go on my fantasy DeLorean right now and say, screw it. Take Josh Jacobs 15 picks later. I mean, 15 picks further down on the who you should pick suggestions. Let's just put it this way. Ashton Jeanty, and right now, I mean, yeah, we wish Ashton Jeanty was getting the production from Cam Scataboo right now. That's for sure. But I'll just say this, that Jeanty had his first two runs of 15 yards or more, and he had more rush yards in Washington, D.C. Than he's had in the first two games. And, you know, the Commanders were living in the Raiders' backfield. If he struggles against the Bears' defense, now we're talking about some sort of a question about what are you doing to develop this guy?
Mm-hmm.
I did see him pass protect a little bit.
Dude, this is more of a shot at the Raiders than
I know
than,
what you're doing
than
right
the player.
Now.
I'm just saying, I'm you just know, saying, when I watched that game last night and I see Scataboo banging off people and catching passes, I'm like, hey, that should be Jeanty.
I know they have different mindsets. I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. It's not working as well. So do I call this an overreaction or not? No, it's not, because you want to see the production out of Jeanty that the Giants are getting out of Scataboo. So
who has more yards when the season's over? Total.
I don't know. With Tyrone Tracy out, it's interesting, and then we'll move on here. Omarion Hampton had a terrific game for the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would have gotten nearly as many of those opportunities if Najee Harris hadn't popped his Achilles.
Probably not.
So sometimes the team's best laid plans of we're just working the guy in, let's just give it some time, get thrown out the window when someone gets hurt. The minute Tyrone Tracy went down, in the middle of the Sunday night game, it was like Scataboo time now.
Yeah.
Like, okay, screw it. Let's not save this guy for anything. And the same thing with the Chargers. They got a rushing touchdown out of Hampton. They got 120 plus scrimmage yards out of him.
He's catching the ball.
Right. So now, like, the best laid plans of, like, let's work the kid from North Carolina in slowly. That's out the window.
Yeah, full speed ahead.
So Scataboo may have more yards at the end of the day. Because Ashton Jeanty, you know, they're just kind of, they're not like holding back on him other than the fact of like, they're taking him out on third down because Geno needs to be pass protected. And for whatever reason, they think Dylan Lobe is a better, or Lauby, pardon me. He's a better, you know, 2 minute drill guy. So I don't have the answer for you on this. I guess I'll call this a proper reaction.
All good. All right. Two left, Rich.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Rams because what a game, what a performance until, you know, it kind of got away from them and obviously the block kick at the end. But when I watch them play and I watch their game plan against Philadelphia and I look at the rest of the way the NFC quote unquote contenders played on Sunday, the Rams are still the only threat to the Eagles getting back to the Super Bowl in the NFC.
You know how I feel about the Rams.
I do, and I'm not trying to set you up, but I'm saying when I watch them.
If you said the Rams are still the best threat, I would agree. You can't sit here and say only threat. You just can't. You can't sit here and say they're the only threat. Green Bay could be a threat.
Didn't like what I saw at Green Bay.
I got you, man.
And
I got
you. Look, dude, Detroit could get blown out on Monday night.
As we all know, Green Bay plays Philadelphia in week 10. That's a Monday nighter. It's going to be lit. It's going to be on. And they play them in Green Bay. If they take care of business there and they look them in the face and go, you got us last year in Brazil, and then we wound up having to come to you last year. You know what I mean? Like it's not good, right? When it's at the end of the day, you know, the Packers would love to have Philadelphia go to them again. So we'll see what happens in week 10. The Bucks, bro. The Bucks have Philadelphia's number almost always. That's the next game. Philly's in Tampa this coming week.
We're going to talk about the Bucks in a second.
Okay, so I'll call this an overreaction and say the Rams had them. The Rams had them exactly where they were.
Had them.
They had the place booing. They had and then the Eagles decided to say, screw it, we're just running it. I mean, we're throwing it, pardon me. It's which is kind of crazy because we know the way that the Eagles did the Rams last year, right, which was Saquon, mm-hmm, and then more Saquon. Well, the Rams this year were like, that's not happening. And in the first half, they kept on trying to get Saquon loose and trying to get Jalen loose, and they couldn't.
Couldn't.
And then Jalen started unleashing his arm and the throwing, and Goddard scores a touchdown.
Yeah, A.J. Brown finally in the mix.
I mean, so, yeah. And then on top of it, Matthew Stafford's never beaten Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts now 4-0 against Stafford.
Interesting.
So, this is not horseshoes. If this was horseshoes and hand grenades, I'd say yes, but it's not. Being close doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. There's no banners for that.
No banner.
I'll just say the Rams aren't the only one. What else?
Okay.
Finish off strong, sir.
Last one. Okay. And we're going to talk about Tampa, like I said.
Okay. As promised.
As promised. And I know Baker's your boy, but he's been awesome. And when I watched the Bucks play the first 3 weeks of the year, you mentioned three game winners, mm-hmm, on the last drive. The Bucks have that team of destiny feel to them after the first three games.
Sure. I'll buy it. But I mean, you know, Mike Evans seems to get his annual, nagging injury that might keep him out.
Slow them down, especially when you have Amir Ibuka doing what
he's doing. And it looks like Wirfs and Godwin are right around the corner, which is good for them. Yeah. I mean, they do have I'll buy it. I mean, Baker is special. He is special. This is exactly the guy that the Bucks were hoping he would grow into and take the opportunity of like, hey, I'll take a flyer on you if you'll take one on us after Tom Brady's decided to no longer play. And I mean, you want to talk about telling your kids or telling anyone in your life about opportunity knocking and busting the door down and betting on yourself. He's the king of that. He's the king of also creating something to get pissed off about.
Steve Wilkes.
The Jets defensive coordinator is the one who cut him in Carolina. Oh, okay. All right. That's fine. I mean, he's the one that was playing defensive end on a scout team, suck for him.
That photo going around is
life
so funny.
Had to really be, adrift for him. And Steve Wilkes is the one who calls him into his office and says, yeah, I'm an interim coach and it's terrible around here, but it's better for us that you're not here.
Yeah.
That can't be good for him to hear. Then he's talking about Hassan Reddick should have
former Jet. You're like, okay.
Hassan Reddick has got something against the Jets.
I just think the bounces, it's very Chiefsian. Like things are just kind of going their way right now. And you're like, I'm with you. This could be it. Was it Chris Long who said he liked them in the Super Bowl this year?
And it's Bucky Irving's playing his head off.
Yeah.
And I can't sit here and deny that they're not if I say this is a proper reaction, that means that I think that they are a team of destiny, or you're saying they have if you had to look around and say who feels like destined
feels like Tampa so far.
Got it. Because one team's already defending a Super Bowl championship. They feel inevitable.
Right.
Which could be destined. The Chargers also have that feel.
The Chargers have a little bit of that. A little bit.
They got a lot of it. Not a little.
They got the MVP if you want to go back.
Okay.
To
okay.
Topic
look
two.
At you going full circle. But all right, well, Phil, I'll finish by giving you one.
Thanks, bud.
There you go. That wraps it up for this edition of Overreaction Monday. If you're listening to it on the actual day of the Monday we're overreacting to.
Thank you.
Ethan Hawke is in studio on the flagship show. Others to appear on the flagship show this week. We got a full house this week. Kevin Pollak's going to finish up.
Nice.
The week. So it starts with Ethan Hawke and one of our favorites, Kevin Pollak, will be in studio every single day, 12 to 3 Eastern time on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, ESPN Radio and Sirius XM, wherever you get your podcasts. No Contest Wrestling, O'Shea Jackson Jr. and T.J. Jefferson hosted Road to Wrestlepalooza in Indianapolis,
awesome.
A 2-hour pre-PLE program. So they're going to have a lot to talk about on No Contest Wrestling this week as well. Good job, Christopher.
Thanks. Good job by you,
buddy. Chris, I'm Rich. Peace out, everybody.